Well, as I was thinking about tonight, I want you to turn to John 10:10. John 10:10. I'm just going to talk about this one verse of scripture for a little bit. John 10:10. Find it on your iPad, your iPhone. Oh, that reminds me. I better turn my phone on silent. Everybody else do the same thing. And check in. I forgot to check in tonight. Y'all check in at our power. All right. The thief comes. I'm going to read the NIV. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. You know, as we look at this verse here, it tells us three things that the enemy does. And it's the only three things he does. Steal, kill, destroy. There's no indication anywhere that he ever does anything good. There's nothing good about stealing, killing, and destroying. Is there? Now, another thing I want you to notice about this scripture, it says the thief comes. Yes. Now, there's no question about it. He comes. Yes. Yes. It's not if he's going to, when he's going to. It's he will come. It said the thief comes. Yes. So we need to, you know, not waste our time trying to avoid him. You know, don't spend your energy needlessly, because you're not going to be able to avoid him. And he'll especially come if you're putting the word in. You know, a lot of people think if they're going through problems and having tests and trials, they think that they're out of the will of God. No, probably. That probably indication you're in the will of God, because the devil don't mess with people that are not in the will of God, because they're not hurting his kingdom at all. He don't mess with them, you know. He don't mess with people that are not. He's talking here about us that are Christians. He's coming to steal from us, you know. Now, he comes to steal the word from us. That's one of the things he comes to do, to steal the word from us. You see, if he can steal the word from us, he can keep us from getting what the God says belongs to us. Amen. If he can steal the word. Mark 4:15, you know, talking about the sower, said some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word away from them. That's exactly what he does. He's trying to steal the word from you. You have to do something about him not stealing the word from you. You got to put up a defense for him. You can't afford to let him hang around. You know, Ephesians 4:27, the last clause there says, do not give the devil a foothold. In the NIV said, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity. In other words, a lot of people, you know, when I see them, they start to get a cough just a little bit, and they get a few sniffles, and they just let it go. Until it full-fledged got a hold of them, and now they're getting and starting the word, and I'm speak against you. Hey, start it right at the right whenever the devil comes with his trash. Hello. Don't wait till you let him get a good hold. And it take you twice as long to get him out. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Y'all awful quiet out there. I'm trying to hear pages turning. All right, I see some people still turning pages, so I'll wait a minute. You know, some of them still finding it on their... I'm judging Miss Lynette down here because she couldn't find her... She likes to have a regular Bible, and she's got one she leaves back there in the speaker's room, but it's not theirs. And it's got a big written in the flyleaf, "Do not remove this Bible." But it ain't back there. So now she's looking it up on her phone. All right, here we go. Be self-controlled. I'm reading from the NIV, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around. And the other translation says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now that tells me right there that he can't devour you. He can't steal from you. He can't destroy you unless you let him. Because it said, looking for someone to devour. You know? Now, you know, watching on that, sometime watching on the TV, the Animal Kingdom or whatever it is, they'll show different animals and they were, I don't know, I've seen it here a while back. I was looking and there was a lioness with her cubs and she was going around looking for food. Their food would be some other animal. So she's looking for it. And she's looking for somebody to devour. That's the way a lion does. They look for somebody, someone to devour. You know, if you ever, you know, you go out there in West Texas, I guess it's the same way out in the western part of the United States, but I know in West Texas, whenever I was associate pastor down there in Garland, but there was having such an outbreak of wolves that the Texas Wildlife Department said, every wolf pelt that's turned in, we'll give you $5 for it. Because these wolves were preying upon the cattle. Now what they would do, if they wouldn't go into a herd, but if they found a calf or a cow out a little bit away from the herd by themselves, that's who they would attack. Now, the devil is as smart as these animals. That's so if you are not going to church, you're not running with your Christian friends, then you're out here and that's who he's looking for. See, the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourself together. It says to come together. When we come together, we should stay together. You know, I noticed that some people, they run, instead of running with the Christians, they run with the devil's crowd. I'll get to that in a minute. He goes on here in verse 9, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. You got to resist him. James says, submit yourself, James 4:7 says, submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will run for you if you get everybody praying for you. He'll leave you if the pastor prays for you. It says, what does it say? Resist the devil and he will what? From who? From me. You can put, you can take the word that you out and put me there. You don't change it at all. He from me. Yes. See, you can't afford to play around with the devil's things. You can't afford to mess around with it. That's what I was saying. You don't hang, don't go hanging out with the devil's crowd. Yes, sir. You know, I don't mind to say hi to them, so, but don't go hang with them. Make up your mind that you and the devil are on opposite teams. You know, when I was playing football and when I was on that field and I saw that other color uniform, I wanted to destroy it. I mean, I'm gonna hit them. How many of you guys play football? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. They are not on my team. It's so funny. Of course, I grew up in Garland, Texas, which is now just a part of the Dallas area. It used to be about 16 miles out of Dallas, like Richardson and all those little towns, Grand Prairie and Irvin and all those little towns around there. Now they're just all part of it. In fact, it used to be 50 miles between Dallas and Fort Worth. Now you don't even, it's just solid all the way to there, through there. Anybody been down there recently? Well, I heard back there then, I was there when the Cowboys started, and I'm still a Cowboy fan. I know a lot of y'all don't like them, but that's all right. That's your problem, not mine. I don't like the team you're chewing for either, especially if it's Pittsburgh or Washington. Yeah. Or the Patriots. Now, I like Kansas City. See, Kansas City started in Dallas, too. Most of y'all don't know that. They were the Dallas Texans of the old American Football League. And them and the Cowboys started about the same time. One of them, they had two leagues, the American Football League, and now that's why they have the American Conference and the National Conference, because they merged. And the Kansas City Chiefs was the old Dallas Texans. And when the two teams merged, when the two AFL and the NFL merged, Lamar Hunt took the Texans to Kansas City and changed their name to Chiefs. In fact, the Hunt family still owns the Kansas City Chiefs. In fact, I think his daughter is running them now. I believe that's what I heard anyway. But anyway, I heard they were interviewing Randy White, and they were talking about, I don't know what team it was, they were coming to town, and he said, yeah, some of them already here. He said, they're going to be over my house tonight. We're going to have a Friday night. He said, we're going to have a barbecue. I'm going to fix them some of them Texas steaks, because, And so, but he said, we'll be friendly right here. But he said, when I step across and they got on the wrong color uniform, I'm going to knock the fire out of them. Now, he said, they're all my friends. Some of them played college ball with. Now, after the game, they'll probably come over to my house and we'll probably have another steak. Well, you can't be that way with your enemy, the devil. You can't pal with him part of the time and not part of the time. Hello, they do that. You can do that as a ball player. See, the devil's crowd is at certain places. Just don't go there. That's right. Proverbs 4:14. I may get through with this a little fast tonight, but I just... looking at this scripture today and just started thinking about some of these things. And, it's sort of interesting just to look at some of this stuff. Proverbs 4:14. Y'all found it? Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. It said... do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Or walk with evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it. Go away. Don't even go around where they're at.
Right. That's
right. See, the devil and his crowd, you're going to read verse 16, for they cannot sleep till they do evil. They rob and slumber till they make someone fall. I mean, the devil's crowd is not content until they pull you in.
Yes, yes.
Come on now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We need to realize that the devil is out to get us. It just says right here, the thief comes. It's not a matter of when and if, it's he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. All right? But then it goes on and says, Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't give him an opportunity. Now, it says here, be self-controlled and alert. That means you be ready all the time. Now, I don't know what your coach taught you guys that played ball, but our coach taught us. He said, I don't care if the whistle blows and the play is over. You still stay tense and alert until you're in the huddle with all your other guys. Do you know that more people get hurt in a football game after the whistle blows than before the whistle blows? You know why? It's because when they hear that whistle blow, they relax, and then somebody hits them, and they're not prepared to take a hit. How many of you guys play football? Would you agree with that? You understand that? They call them cheap shots. Listen, you got to be alert. He said, be alert all the time. When I was on that field, he said, you be alert. You be, get your head on a swivel. Anybody ever heard a coach say that? I see some heads shaking. Be ready. Be alert. Be looking. Either be looking for somebody to hit or something. Be looking and make sure somebody can't hit you. Now, we've got to be alert to the devil all the time. Do you know when most Christians are the most vulnerable? Is right after they've had a great spiritual victory. Remember the prophet? He's up there with the prophets of Baal, and they made an altar, and they went all day long. He mocked them. He told them, says, holler a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. And how many of you remember that story? And then after they got through, nothing happened. Then he rebuilt the altar, put the wood on there, the sacrifice on top of it. And he said, oh, hey, by the way, dig a ditch around this thing and bring me 12 barrels full of water and pour on here. That was represented one for each tribe. And they poured the water on that thing. Now you got wet wood and you got water all around the place. And, you know, he stepped up there and he said, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't pray much more than that. And boom, the fire came. All right. Now, it hadn't rained for 3 years. So he told the old king, he said, prepare yourself. I hear the abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. He went and prayed. He said, I hear the abundance of rain before he ever saw a cloud. And then he outran the king's chariot all the way across the valley there back to Jerusalem. And, of course, the king had old nag horses that couldn't run. No, I don't think so. He probably had the best horse for that. But he outrun the horses. Now, Jezebel says to him, that's the queen. She says, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to have your head. And he runs off out there nowhere, sits down under the juniper tree and says, Lord, take my life. He didn't want to die. You know why I know he didn't want to die? Because if he'd have stayed where he was, he'd already been dead. He's having a pity party. Of course, none of you have ever done that. But see, right after he had two major victories, now he runs off out there. Lord, I'm the only one left that calls you by your name. Just take my life. Just take me. He didn't want to die. If he wanted to die, he'd stay where he was. He'd already been dead. Isn't it funny how we're no different than the people that was in the Bible. The devil comes after us just like he came after them. You know, I don't know why people want to talk about the devil. And you need to talk about God. Don't talk about the devil. You know, they always talk about what the devil's doing, and the devil's been after me, and the devil's putting this on me. And devil, you know, devil's dumb. Really, he's dumb to mess with Christians, because if we know who we are in Christ, I mean, hey, we already got his number anyway. So that's dumb for him to even come around, because if he had any smarts, he'd realize that I go around them, I'm going to get my head beat. You know, I got some funny stories here of criminals. This shows you how dumb the devil is with people. A young man was charged with stealing 2 handguns and a watch from a hardware store. The employees noticed that the items were missing right after the young man came in to apply for a job, then left in a hurry, leaving a complete job application filled out behind, containing his name, address, and all the pertinent information about him. You know, guy stole a car, and then he left it somewhere. They found it. And there was a copy of his job resume laying on the front seat. They knew right where to find him. You know, but look at the last part of this. Let's go to the other part. I've been talking about the thief. Now, look at this. He said, the thief is come. The thief comes. He's there. But now he comes and says, I have come. The thief comes, but he says, I have come that you might have life, have it to the full, or have it more abundantly. See, he has come. Christ has already defeated the devil at Calvary. I think I hang around God's crowd. Because it says have life. Have it more abundantly, or to the full. To the greatest extent that there is, life. Why? Because he came on Calvary and defeated the thief. Jesus defeated the thief. You know, another little story. A thief slipped in the window of a house one night. He got inside. He clicked on his flashlight, looking around, and he heard a voice saying, Jesus is going to get you. He startled. He looked around, shone his flashlight around. Finally, he saw a parrot in a cage. The thief was a little relieved then. So he went on, he took a few more steps, and he's looking around, seeing what he could get. And the parrot said again, Jesus is going to get you. He took several more steps, and all of a sudden he heard a low growl. And he shone his flashlight in front of him, and there stood a big old Doberman Pinscher with his teeth bared and growling. And the parrot said, I told you Jesus is going to get you. The dog's name was Jesus. See, we need to tell the devil every time we come around, Jesus is going to get you. He already got you once. He's going to get you again. See, when the enemy comes in with all of his junk, we need to tell him, hey, you done come too late, buddy. Because Jesus already come. He's already come. You can't get me. He's going to get you. He already got you once. He'll get you again. See, Satan comes to steal the word from you. But the living word already defeated him once. So now you take the living word and do it all over again. I mean the written word, excuse me. Speak the written word. The living word defeated him already at Calvary. Now you with the spoken word, you defeat him when he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy you. It's not a matter if he's going to come. He's going to come. He can't steal you from you. He can't destroy you. He can't kill you if you don't let him. Remember what it said there in Peter? He is a roaring lion looking for those, and I'm going to change it just a little bit, that will let him destroy him. In essence, that's what it says, and the way we would say it. See, in essence, Jesus is saying here, when he said, I have come, he's making the statement, I have already defeated the thief. I have come to put a stop to him. I have come to release you. Now, it's up to you to take what he has told you and release yourself. See, he's already released you, but until you take the word of God and speak to the enemy that's coming, he's going to be there to take control of you.
Yes. Amen.
Help me understand what I'm saying to you. See, the living word defeated him at Calvary. We, with the written word in our heart coming out our mouth, defeats him all over again and keeps him from stealing, killing, and destroying us. But you see, it said there, be sober, be alert. You do something about it. Resist, James said, resist the devil. We've got to do something. We got to resist him. Even though he's been defeated by Jesus, if we don't take the word and defeat him, he'll come in on us and still kill and destroy. You've heard me tell the story, but it works right here. I'm going to tell it again about the bully that was in, he's both been in the eighth grade and he was down in the sixth grade. You know, they don't fail people anymore. How many of you went to school when if you didn't pass, you didn't go to the next grade? Now, there ain't no such thing as failing nobody. In fact, a D is passing. Now, when I was in school, had to have at least a C to pass. But anyway, you know, he was always kicking people's. You'd be standing at your locker, and he'd come by and kick your feet out from underneath you. He'd slam the locker on your head. He'd steal your lunch money, do all sorts of things. And finally, my buddy Charles Killian. Now, Charles is one of those boys, he didn't say a whole lot, but when Charles opened his mouth and spoke, you better listen, because he wasn't going to speak twice. How many of you guys know, have had friends or you knew guys that were like that? I mean, it was they ain't going to open their mouth twice. And so he kicked Charles' feet out from under, and Charles come up and he turned around and he said, don't you ever touch me again as long as you live. He called his name. Well, we were going outside for recess. And he shoved Charles down the steps, and Charles come off the ground and hit him right at his knees and took him down and was on top of him with his knees on holding his both arms down, and he was wailing away. Mr. Thompson come out there, the principal, and he said, anybody don't want to see this? Go on back inside. He said, I've been looking for somebody. Of course, you couldn't. I was in the sixth grade, and I graduated from high school in 58, so I can tell you, that's about, 54, I guess. You know, you couldn't do that today. That'd be, you'd get in big trouble for that today. And so Charles whipped him good. Now here's my point. Here's what I want to get to. Charles whipped him. Okay. Now, he comes down, he slams my locker, and I got a history book, you know, about that thick, you know, those big old history books. I come around with that book, whoom, with all my weight and everything I could get behind it, all 100 pounds of me, because I only weighed 145 when I graduated from high school. And I mean, with everything I had, hit him right in the back of the head, and he went to his knees, and I started hitting him again. He said, don't hit me. I said, okay. Now, you see, Charles whipped him. And all of us saw it. So everybody that stood up to him, he backed off. But there was some of those guys that he'd go down, he'd kick their feet. Oh, don't leave me alone. I mean, they still cowered down to him. That's the way a lot of people are doing. Even though Jesus has already defeated the devil, we're going to have to show him that we know that we can defeat him too. You know, the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy. But the news is, the good news, the great news is that he has come, Jesus has come, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So rise up in the name of Jesus and tell the devil where to go. Anybody get anything out of this tonight? I just was looking at that and I thought, that's good. Everybody stand, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Help us to realize that we can have life and have it more abundantly, but that we're going to have to take our authority. Jesus already defeated the enemy, but we must take our authority now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, or you need a know-so experience with God, or you want to receive the Holy Spirit, or you want somebody to pray with you about anything, the ladies are here and men are over here. Just come to the front as we're dismissed and they'll pray with you. Amen. Praise God.